gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's a Tuesday morning. It's me, Dave Chansmith, on Basingstoke Community Radio, and I've got Claire on the phone. Claire, the garden editor, who's got COVID today, haven't you, Claire?
I have indeed, Dave. I'm calling you from my little studio where I'm kind of tucked up with all the hot cups of tea and all the rest of it. But yeah, I'm afraid I've got COVID, which makes it feel very retro, very 2020. But I'm very well apart from that. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Well, I hope you feel better.
Do you know what? I'm sure I will. I think it's just this time of year, and suddenly we've had a change of the seasons, and there's a bit more bugs going around. But you know, it's all part of life's rich pageant.
Well, as long as you've been vaccinated, you'll be all right. Have you been vaccinated?
Yeah, I have. Although I think I'll probably do a booster, which I'll have to reschedule. But there we are. Get your jabs, people.
You're not old enough for a booster. Right. Well, today we're doing a short Q&A session, aren't we?
We are. And thank you as ever. We love having your questions coming in, and they've been pouring in. So we've just pulled up the top five which have come through, and I thought we'd just go through them in order. But even if we don't do a Q&A session, please do keep the questions coming through, because it's lovely to hear from everyone and what they're up to in their gardens.
Absolutely. But you've got the questions. I will let you read them, and you can answer them as well.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe I could ask the questions, you can answer them. As I'm a bit poor. Okay, so here's the first question. This is from Fran in Basingstoke. Thanks so much for your question, Fran, and for getting in touch. Fran asks, how can I protect my container plants from frost during the winter months? This is a great question. Lots of people like container gardening, depending on how much space you've got outside. And the first thing to say, Fran, is it depends what kind of plants you've got in those containers. So you might have things which are called annual plants, which are the ones which grow, flower, set seed and die within a season. So quite often bedding plants fall into those category. So in that case, they're likely to naturally die off around this time, and certainly by the time of the first frosts, and there's not a lot you can do about them. That's just their natural life cycle, that the annual bedding plants that we buy in the garden centres will just grow and then finish at the end of the autumn season.
Oh, it's quite sad really, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it is a kind of circle of life, Hakuna Matata and all the rest of it. But that's why I kind of quite like perennial plants, because they kind of go for longer. And it just means you have to pay one lot of money, do one lot of planting, and they come back year on year. And if you have perennial plants, so plants which are going to last more than 1 year, a lot of them will be frost hardy that we're sold in this country. That means they're likely, on the whole, to be able to cope with cold temperatures. Now, there are some exceptions to that. So if you have things called geraniums, the pergolonium geraniums, so the ones which kind of have slightly fluffy leaves, those will not survive outside in our North Hampshire climate. They used to survive where I lived in London, but out here, not a chance. So for those, what you're going to do is bring them inside and keep them somewhere frost free, but light, and don't water them. Keep them quite dry on the dry side. A lot of plants go into winter dormancy, so they're not drinking a lot of water. And like a lot of us in winter, what we really hate is having wet feet. You know, I'll happily walk for miles and miles and miles so long as my feet are dry. But the minute my feet get wet, my roots get wet, that's where sulking happens.
Yeah, you want to get a new pair of wellies then, didn't you, really?
Indeed. So yeah, and talking of that, basically your container plants, your actual containers, a lot of those should be frost hardy as well. If you've got terracotta pots, a lot of those can withstand frosts, but some, particularly the unglazed ones, might shatter a bit in the frost. So it's a bit worth thinking about what actually are you containing your plants in. If you can raise them up on little kind of steps, again, that's going to help that excess winter water drain out and through that container, which means it's not going to sit. Your plants are going to sit in the winter wet and get soggy. So check what type of plants you've got, Fran. Either say goodbye to them or kind of protect them by bringing them indoors if they are tender. Otherwise, you can leave them outside, but maybe just raise up your garden, your containers, to make sure the water can drain through. And if in doubt, if we're looking at storms, you know, place them somewhere where they're not going to roll over and get smashed about.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you can put them out of the wind somewhere.
Exactly, particularly if they're not looking at their best, which will come on to the next question. But if they're things which have died back, you don't. Comes back to the chat we had about garden overwhelm. There is no point in the winter sitting looking at sad pots. Put them somewhere out of your viewpoint, so you're not looking out of the kitchen window when you're doing the washing up, looking at something which looks like there's got dead things in it. It's just not enjoyable, is it?
No. Okay, that's from Fran then. Thanks for that, Fran. Hopefully that will help you make some decisions for this winter.
Yes, indeed. And linked to that, Barry from Chinham's got a great question. Thank you, Barry, for your question. You are asking, what are some winter hardy plants that can add colour to my garden? And that is a really good question, because a lot of the time in the winter, we want to feel a bit of zazz, a bit of pizzazz, a bit of colour and a bit of vibrancy. And so, Barry, you can either look at things which you can put in container plants. There's great things like pukaras you could put in, or dwarf little heathers, which can be in bright, funky colours you can get for a window box that can really brighten things up. Or you can have things in your garden like hellebores, which are called Christmas roses or Lenten roses, and they have bright purple or pink or white flowers all throughout winter. You can also look at colour through leaves and through bark. So dogwood, which is called cornice, you can get with really bright red stems which stand up and look really architectural. And you can get those in red if you look at something called Cornice sibirica alba, or you can get one which is bright orange called midwinter fire. And they look really spectacular if you have somewhere you can plant them where the winter light will come at an angle at them. So almost like you're backlighting them, and it can look really quite spectacular for very, very little effort. So those are a couple of ideas depending on your size of your garden. There are some obvious things you can do for the winter time, which include bulbs. And if you're interested in bulbs and bulb planting, hop onto the website gardeneditor.co.uk, and we've got all the downloads from this time last year, I believe. We did a big session about bulbs
to
buy.
That's all right.
Do you remember about bulb lasagnas? So
yes.
we can get those all there. And I think they might be on the Basingstoke Radio website
as well.
They're all on the website,
yeah.
So you can just download them down. But you can have colour that way from snowdrops in January all the way through to May, June, July.
It's the way you plant them in your pots, isn't it? You layer them.
You should be presenting this programme.
Look at that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all
there
up here, Claire. It's all up here, love, I tell you. I've got it.
Well, in that case, we're gonna flip for the next question. So, Barry,
really?
I hope that gives you a bit of help. But yeah, there's lots of ways of adding colour. We just have to think more broadly than just the actual flower colours.
Thanks for that, Barry. Good question there.
Thank you. Great question. And right, okay, Dave, here you go. Here's a question from Glenn in Bramley.
Is this my starter for 10, is it?
This is your starter for 10.
Oh,
it's a bit of a cheat question. Glenn is asking, when is the best time to prune deciduous shrubs in the winter?
I'd say at the end of autumn, at the start of winter.
Well, this is where I'm going to say.
No, I've crashed and burned on that, haven't I?
No. Well, do you know one of my favourite things in gardening is saying, nah, you don't need to do that. Just have a cup of tea. That's one of these questions where the answer is, nah, you don't need to do that. Have a cup of tea. Glenn, deciduous shrubs are the shrubs which lose their leaves in winter, as you and other listeners probably know. And we
I don't know that, because obviously I got the question. I got the answer wrong.
Oh, no. Well, I was just about to say, last February, we did a pruning Q&A all about when to prune things. And we had five basic rules on pruning. So I would highly recommend going back and listening to that.
Detention for me then, Claire. I think I have to write lines.
Minus 10 points. You'll be doing some hard digging and mulching duties for you, I think, in my garden. Excuse me. But the basic rule is that shrubs will either flower on old wood or new wood. That's old wood is the wood which has been grown this year, or they will flower on new wood, which is the wood that they grown from springtime onwards. And different shrubs flower on either the old or the new. So if you were in any doubt at all about when you should prune a deciduous shrub, the best rule of thumb is to prune after it's flowered. So if you prune after it's flowered, it's always got time to make that new growth and then flower on that new growth. So that means for things which flower early in the year, things like buddleia bushes and the butterfly bushes, you prune right at the end of the winter. And then what happens is it makes the new growth and it flowers on that new growth that summer.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? But for other shrubs which flower on older wood, you'll have pruned them immediately. Then they will, after flowering, then they'll have grown all the new wood. And if you prune that now, you're actually taking away the flowers. So for things like Philadelphus, for example, mock
Cheese in
orange,
it, and
you
it
prune
cheese,
it. What was that, sorry?
and that cheese in it, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Well, you want your cheese straight after you've had your cheesy flowers, then you prune it straight after that.
Right.
So a basic rule is, Glenn, is you don't need to do any deciduous shrubs in the winter at all.
Have a
At the
cup of
earliest
tea.
you'll be doing them, have a cup of tea, have a listen to the download from last February. But the earliest you'll be doing it is kind of late February, early March, when you might prune some particular ones, which you're going to grow that year, like the cornice and like the buddleia, the butterfly bush. But I hope that gives you a bit of a steer. If it's really massive and you're worried about wind rock or winter storms and they're coming close to your house, then of course you can kind of take off a bit. But if you want to prune for kind of floral power, I'd hold off for the moment. So I hope that helps, Glenn.
Good question, that Glenn.
Great,
Obviously,
great,
it
great.
was a good question because I didn't know the answer to it.
I thought I was setting you up beautifully there, saying, oh, you can just say, oh, we did this on the podcast. Have a look at the download. Never mind.
No, you should have gave me the wink, really, and told me that. Should
Oh,
have told,
dear.
yeah, but you
Well,
didn't.
you see, because I'm in my COVID hovel, I can't kick you under the desk and just say,
That's
I'm
right.
going to.
Yeah.
Okay,
All right.
should we move on? We've got
Yeah.
a lovely question from Paul, who's asking a question about veg growing. So Paul from Southern has got in contact. Thanks so much for your question. And Paul is asking, should I cover my veg garden with row covers to protect it from the cold? And this is an excellent question, Paul. It's a lot of people have had, a tough year with their allotments and their veg beds and all the rest of it. And what we're trying to do is think about, right, how can we look forward to the next year and set ourselves up to succeed as best we can. The first thing to say is, when we are thinking about our soil, it's not really the cold that we're worried about protecting it from. Soil can exist in the highlands and the lowlands. That's not a problem. What we're worried a bit about, if you have empty beds of soil which are bare, one, it means all the weed seeds in the air, the airborne weed seeds, can kind of land on that soil, sit there all winter long, and then hey presto, when spring starts, they can germinate first and
Up
mean
they
that you've got a
sprout.
bed. They absolutely go like the clappers. Yep. They're the first things to kind of germinate, so they will take over your bed. So that's one thing. You want to lessen your work in the spring. And the second thing is, if you leave a veg bed idle over the winter, if we have lots of wind and lots of rain, that can lead to soil erosion, that the soil can actually be washed out of those beds. And topsoil is an incredibly precious resource. It takes about 50 years to make 1 centimeter of topsoil. So the more we can look after it and stop it being washed away, the better. So what can we do? Paul's saying, should I cover it over? Yeah, you can absolutely cover it over with row covers or with plastic sheeting or mulch or carpet or bits of carpet we quite often see in allotments. And what that does is it will stop the weeds getting in and it will stop the soil being eroded, but it also, this is coming on to a technical question, it will extend the cultivation window.
Oh,
So
look at
if you
that.
have very There we go, there we go. I've not done Latin for a while,
No,
so
you
I
haven't,
thought
no.
I'd whack in. No. So what that does is, if you have a clay soil is very, very dense, and what that means is that it cools down slowly in autumn, but it takes ages to warm up in spring. Whereas a sandier soil has got larger particles, which means it cools down in the autumn but warms up really no problems at all in the spring.
All right.
So if you have a clay heavy soil and you cover it over,
What do
you're
we have
basically,
mostly in Basingstoke?
well, do you know what? Because I look at my online soil maps when I go around garden editing, so I spend a lot of time staring at maps and soil
Most people look
profiles.
at Google Maps. You've got a soil map, have you?
There's a soil map and then I have a shade map, and then I
Wow.
do look at Google Maps as well. But yeah,
Okay.
I map out on the data. But in Basingstoke, we're a bit of a mix. So towards the east, we're more clay. And then towards the west, we're more flint and chalk. So it's a quite a mixed picture. But you'll know you have a clay soil if it's really, really sticky and heavy, and you can roll it into your hands in a sausage or maybe even make it into a ring. And if you have that, it's likely to be really slow to warm up in spring. So if Paul wants to crack on with his veg sowing in spring, absolutely get some covers on that, and that will help that as well. Or you can even, yeah. So I hope that helps, Paul. And if you have sandy soil, you can choose to do it as well if you want. It will still help the other things, but your soil is likely to warm up quicker.
So check what soil you've got, and there is an edition of the Garden Editor on the download about soil, about mud and soil.
Wow, my
See?
virtual kicking under the table for my
On there
COVID
now, look
hovel
at that.
works.
See?
Absolutely nailed it.
Extra
You
10
got,
points to me then. I'm
I was
back
going to
up.
say,
I'm back up to zero.
Yeah, I think that's 20 points for that. That's so you're plus 10. Okay,
Right,
right.
okay. How many more you got?
I've just got one more
Okay, let's
question
do that
here,
one then.
and this one is from Rosie in Oakley. Thank you for your question, Rosie. And Rosie asks, how can I prevent rodents from damaging my trees and shrubs over the winter?
Live in a
Rodents.
flat. I would move to a flat.
Yeah, moving house
First
is not
floor flat.
necessarily an option,
No, okay, all right.
but there we are. So, well, the good news is, Rosie, is that mice, voles, and rats aren't necessarily that keen on eating trees and shrubs over the winter. We tend to see what they will do, if anything, is that they will hang out in your garden because you might have things like a bird feeder, which might be dropping lots of bits of bird seed on the ground, which they absolutely love. Or you might have a compost with food waste on, which again, lovely and warm, and a takeaway for one, so perfect. So that can, those are the things which can lead to more rodents being present in your garden. They can occasionally, we have seen some rodents, particularly in some extreme winters, do something called girdling, which is where they nibble all the bark around a tree or a shrub. And if they go all the way around, effectively, that's what kills the young sapling trees because it stops all their water and all their food getting through to the plant. So if you've got young trees and you're worried about rodent damage, you can get tree spirals which stop things like deer as well as rabbit and any rodents from doing that girdling. So if you've got anything you're worried about in particular, you can use those types of things to stop that. What we tend to see is rodents dig things up. And they tend, like a bit like squirrels, they dig up bulbs. And the jury is out on how best to prevent that. Chicken wire is a favoured option. Chili powder, I've heard. Lavender oil, I've also heard. We don't quite know what the effect of all these volatile compounds are on the soil health, though. So the jury's a bit out on that. But rodents, it tends to be more a health concern, and it tends to be more that they're going to eat flowers or nice bits of shoots of fruit and veg rather than actually damaging your trees and shrubs over the winter, Rosie. So I hope that gives you a bit of comfort, but also gives you a few ideas if you are really concerned about how you can net and spiral away, get some spirals on your trees and shrubs to protect them.
Good. There's a good selection of questions there, actually, weren't there?
Well, I think they're brilliant. So Fran, Barry, Glenn, Paul, and Rosie get 30 points each.
Okay.
So I still think our listeners are beating the presenters.
Yeah, I know.
But
Well.
we love having these questions, and please keep them coming because it's lovely to hear from people and what they're finding useful. Otherwise, it's just me talking about Latin all day long, and no
That's
one
right.
wants to hear that.
Yeah. Well, no, we
Yeah.
do like a bit of Latin, don't we? And I've learned a new word today, girdling.
Girdling, yeah, and the cultivation window. There you go.
Yeah,
You've got
sweet.
two new.
Look
There we are.
at
So I'll
that.
do a test on you next time on those.
Oh, yeah, cheers for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
All right. Oh, we're going to see you in a couple of weeks' time. Hopefully, you get rid of your COVID by then.
well, for sure. I have to because I've got. I'm spending most of my days in mud if I'm planning right in the next couple of weeks. So yes, but I do have a track of the week for you though.
Yes, go on.
Well, a lot of these questions are all about the weather. Frost, rain, winter,
Yeah,
cold.
we're not going to play the weather girls, are we?
No, we're not, but I
Thank God for
thought we
that.
would go really retro.
Go on, then.
How about a bit of Bewitched and blame it on the
Oh, yeah.
weatherman?
Thank you very much. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time then.
Speak to you soon then. Bye
Thanks,
bye.
Claire. Bye-bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.